meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Welcome to Tuesday, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM. You find us here on the Refresh radio program on WMIE 8:30 of a morning, 5 o'clock of an evening. If you happen to miss those that morning broadcast, you can catch us at 10:30 a.m. You can also go to WMIEFM.com and catch us on the Listen on Demand feature at the bottom of the website. So you can also listen to us on the TuneIn app. Just type in WMIEFM. That'll pull you up. Now, you got to listen. When you do it on the TuneIn app, you get a few seconds of delay there, but you can listen to us anywhere in the country or anywhere an open internet is available. We've got people that have moved away from Brevard County. They still listen to the Refresh radio program via the technology that's available. Thank God for the technology that's continued to enable us to proclaim the gospel even with all of the challenges that we've faced over the last year. So want to take you today back to the book of Isaiah. We're going to be in Isaiah chapter 58. And today we're going to show the opposite end of the spectrum from what we were talking about on yesterday's program. Where yesterday we were in Isaiah chapter 26, we were talking about how that we need to seek God early by my spirit within me. Today we're going to talk about people who had just made a decision. And, you know, Isaiah 58 is all about God educating people. They did it their way instead of doing it God's way. And so we want to see how we can not repeat the same mistakes that other people have made. So let me take you to Isaiah chapter 58, verse number 1, and it says, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet, tell my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching God. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls and you take no notice? In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all your laborers. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate and to strike with the fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. Is it a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul, or is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light shall break forth like the morning, your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, 'Here I am.' If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pasture or pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. So here in Isaiah chapter 58, it's got a very simple message, and it is there were people who were going through the religious motions. They were seeking God daily. They seemed to rejoice in knowing his ways as if they were a nation that did righteousness. That's what it says in verse number 2. But verse number 1 says, tell my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. God says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet. He was calling to people, and he said, you are going through the motions of seeking me, but you're not dealing with your transgressions. Okay. If we are going to seek God, then we have got to abandon our wicked ways. So let me take you back to 2 Chronicles. It's probably the most famous passage of scripture in 2 Chronicles. You hear it a lot at the National Day of Prayer. And it says this, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. So, again, this is something that should be done daily. I don't know about you, but I have found that it is more efficient to take care of matters on a regular basis than it is to abandon them and come back and try and do everything, you know, in one makeup swat, makeup effort. For instance, around my house, I find that edging my yard goes quicker if I do it every time that I mow instead of just doing it once a month. You say, well, how can that be? Well, you know, it just, grass grows, weeds grow, you know, things fill in the cracks, and you know, the next thing you know, you're having to go extra slow to catch up for what you could have taken care of. And so I didn't used to be an edger, but I decided that my yard looked better, and so I decided to pick that up. So we would be well served to deal with our sins. And let me tell you that sins are not defined by popular opinion poll. Sins are defined by God. And so we have got to seek God's face. And in doing that, we need to do that daily. And also in doing that, we've got to turn our back on or abandon our wicked ways. And we'll be better served. We'll be better served. Now, when you go to back to Isaiah chapter 58, he says, what you have been doing, the motions that you have been going through, and the fact that you seem to be taking delight in approaching God, but you're not seeing any fruit of it. He said, the fact is you are not fasting the way that I want you to fast. It's not a day when you are treating God as the central focus. It's not a day of treating people better. You're just going through the motions, and you're doing it from a selfish perspective. Okay? God's not impressed. Okay? You always have to remember that God notices the thoughts and the intentions of our heart. He knows what we're doing, and he knows why we're doing it. He knows what we're thinking about and why we're thinking it. So you and I, we have got to get life right. If we're going to be seeking God daily, that's got to manifest in the way that we treat other people. Okay? It's not a fasting is not about getting God persuaded that he should listen to our voice. That's not what it is about. Fasting is about positioning ourselves humbly under God's mighty hand and allowing him to transform us the way that we need to be changed. That's what humility is all about. Okay? A lot of people want to come in and they want to do this and try and manipulate God into doing what they want him to do, when in actuality, God is looking to operate in our lives and bring about the changes in us. He says, and when I bring about the changes in you, he said, then I will hear from heaven. Then I will forgive their sin. Then I will heal their land. So he goes on and he says, if you want to see God on a daily basis in a manner that is going to get God's attention, he said, you need to loose the bonds of wickedness. Okay? You don't want to be bound to that. I had a person one time, they told me that that they were in a relationship with a person who was involved in witchcraft, and that the person had given them an item, and they didn't know why their world was not going the way that they wanted it to. And I said, well, the first thing that you need to do is you need to get rid of that particular bond in your life. Okay? You and I, we cannot be walking in covenant with God and with idol worship at the same time. It doesn't work. God will not play second place to anybody or anything. Okay? The enemy wants you bound up in wickedness. He wants you with as little freedom as possible. I had a dog a long time ago, this is before we came to Florida, and we've been in Florida, seems like about 1,000 years now. It's not been quite that long, but it seems like it. We had this dog, and it was a dog that somebody had before us and must have been mistreated by a male, because every time he saw a male, or this dog saw a male, she would just automatically go to the bathroom right in the middle of the floor. And so we couldn't keep her in the house when we weren't there. So we kept her outside. We kept her underneath a shade tree. We made sure that there was plenty of food and there was plenty of water. And I said, you know, I want to make sure that this dog can go wherever the dog wants to go. And so I got a 100-foot leash. 100-foot. Okay? That was enough to get, you know, anywhere she needed to get to. And I came home from work one day, and I go out there, and the dog had wrapped the leash around a tree so many times that couldn't go anyplace. Had wrapped itself around, and never one time did it think about going the opposite direction and getting itself unstuck. And so I said, oh, you poor thing. You poor pups. And so I let the dog off the leash, and I, you know, put her in the house, and I went out there and I unwrapped the leash from around the tree, and I restored it to where the dog had full run of the 100-foot leash again, and came home the next day, and it was in exactly the same predicament that that it was in the day before. And that was when I realized that that dog was not the brightest bulb in the kennel. But in all fairness, what an accurate reflection of the way that most of us are when it comes to our spiritual life. We cry out to God because we have got ourselves in a fix. We can't get unstuck. We don't know how to get ourselves out of the problem. And God comes and has mercy on us and sets us free. And we find ourselves right back in the same mess again. God says, if you will seek me daily the way that I want to be sought, you're not going to end up in the same predicament. And you're not just going to go through the motions on a daily basis. You are going to find that you have freedom and safety and mobility in your life. He says, undo the heavy burdens and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. By the way, after the second day, I didn't put that dog back on the leash again because I didn't feel like it was smart enough to figure out what it should do. You and I, we need to be doing whatever we can to break the yoke, and that you break every yoke. Okay. Do you see how much freedom, to what extent liberty God wants it to manifest in your life? He doesn't want you in bondage to anyone or to anything. And so, and it's not just for you, it is for other people. Okay? I don't want to be in bondage, and I don't want you to be in bondage. I want to seek God so that I live in freedom, so that I can be empowered by God to help you live in freedom, so that you can be empowered by God to help other people live in freedom. That's what we're supposed to do. I need to say one more thing here about the people. They thought that the problem was with God, because they were going through the motions, but they weren't seeing the result. And God says, no, it's not so much a problem with me. It's with a misperception on your part. You thought I was impressed because you went without food. He said, when I'm really focused on the lack of justice that you are manifesting in society. He said, you need to share your bread with the hungry. You need to make sure that the poor are cared for. By the way, I will tell you this. God says that if we will do things according to his word, according to his ways, according to his plan, and according to his timing, that there would never be any poor in the land. By the time Jesus comes, he said, you're always going to have the poor with you. It is not because God changed his mind and said, man, I thought that it would work out that nobody would be poor. No, that was what God said. The reality was that when Jesus came, he realized that mankind had no intention of doing life the way that God wanted them to do life, in such a way that everybody experienced financial freedom. Okay, some people are more interested in oppressing others than they are in liberating others. Let that never be true in God's house. Okay. When you see the naked, that you cover him, not hide yourself from your own flesh, then your light. So when we start doing things, all of a sudden things begin to change. Light breaks forth like the morning. Healing shall spring forth speedily. A lot of times we want to ask, you know, why is there no healing? And, you know, I want to ask, is there an opportunity for us to be a blessing there? Is there an opportunity for us to be a blessing? Because I think in reality there could be, your righteousness shall go forth. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. There's another verse over in Isaiah chapter 55. If we can turn back there. Isaiah chapter 55, verse number 6 says this. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Okay? We need to realize that there is a timing factor. Here in Isaiah chapter 55, it says that we need to seek him while he may be found, and we need to call upon him while he is near. Okay. Now, I am a firm believer that everybody knows how to pray. You say, well, I don't know the religious lingo. That's different than prayer. Prayer is simply communication between a person created by God and the God who created them. It is very much like a conversation. If you were here and we were having a conversation, I wouldn't be doing all of the talking. I would be talking and you would be talking. I would be listening and you would be listening. We'd be having a dialogue. It would be very much like a Nicodemus and Jesus situation. That would be the way that we would do it. And I can be Nicodemus, you can be Jesus. I don't have, you know, I learn from people. I've been learning so much of late that I'm just really, really excited about it. But when it comes to what is being talked about here in Isaiah chapter 55, verse number 8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. I want you to know that the difference, the distance between those two things is substantial. It's not just, you know, they're just slightly askew, just a little bit. It goes on and it says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. There is this vast difference between the way that God thinks and the way that we think. So let me ask you, which one do you think has the greater capability of influencing the other? Is it us influencing God, or is it God influencing us? There's another passage that says, where God says, you thought I was altogether like you. You thought I was just like you. And you couldn't have been more wrong. That last part I added. People are very egotistical when they think that God is just like them. You know what? If God was just like me, I wouldn't want to worship that type of Savior. Not that I'm a bad guy, but I'm by no means perfect, no means as compassionate as he is, no means as wise as he is, and nowhere near as powerful as he is. That's not the type of Savior that the world needs. The type of Savior that the world needs is a perfect, holy, omnipotent, omniscient, compassionate Savior, and that's who Jesus is. So we need to realize we've got a long way to go, whether it is seeking him on a daily basis, seeking him with our spiritual disciplines. We need to make sure we're not just going through the motions, but we're doing things the way God wants them done. We need to make sure that we are abandoning wickedness so that we seek his face. And we need to be seeking him not as a person who is just slightly ahead of the curve of where we are, but someone that if he doesn't help us, we're not going to be able to make it. That's the reality. That's the reality. We desperately need him every day. Lord, I need you. Every hour, I need you. And we need to come to that. It goes on and it says here in Isaiah 55, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." That's what happens when we seek him daily, when we seek him by abandoning wickedness, and while we seek him, while it may be found, we're going to find that God is our provider, that he lavishes out everything that we need, not just for one area in our life. Look at what it says: seed to the sower and bread to the eater. You should be involved in both the partaking and the planting. He says, "My word, when it goes forth from my mouth, it's not going to return to me void." What that means is it is not going to miss its mark. It's going to go exactly where I send it. It is going to make the desired impact. And when that happens, it's going to accomplish it's going to accomplish the task that I sent it forth to accomplish. That's the word of God. It is the promise. And so I pray that you and I, that we will be seeking him daily, that we will be seeking him in such a way that we won't have to be pried away from our sins. We will abandon our ways of wickedness, and then we'll say, "God, you know what? I think you want to be found today, and I'm going to seek you because I want you to manifest in my life." God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."